You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia tau te rangi mari e, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tuanuku e takatonei, o te tai ao e awhinei I a tātou, tihei Māori ora. This is the Green Desk on 95BFM.
It is indeed time for the Green Desk, and 150 academics from a broad range of disciplines and institutions across Aotearoa New Zealand have signed a strongly worded open letter to the government. The letter is a plea to take dramatic and immediate action in response to climate change. The letter was made public yesterday, and Cordelia Lockett, a senior lecturer at Unitech, wrote and distributed the letter. Alice spoke this morning with Cordelia and asked her about what prompted her to write and publicise the letter.
I really had a good think about this latest report from the IPCC and the urgent message that we're getting from that authoritative, you know, world-renowned authoritative body on climate change. They're not being, you know, they're not just mucking around anymore. They're saying this is an emergency. We need urgent action. And actually the quote from them that I thought was really profound was that they said, in order to reduce our emissions sufficiently, to, you know, like we need to halve our emissions in about 12 years' time to get climate change on track to zero, right, go right down to zero in terms of net carbon emissions. In order to do that, they said, we need rapid, far-reaching, unprecedented changes in all aspects of society. And, you know, this is a bunch of conservative, this is a conservative body of scientists. They don't usually talk like that. If they're talking like that, you know, we really need to be paying attention. And I thought about that, and then I thought about the messages we're getting from our government. And yeah, they've got things in the pipeline, and there's the Zero Carbon Act that's coming online next year, and that's all great. But I'm not getting that sense of urgency. We need to act now, and I really feel like New Zealand could be leading the world in this and doing more.
It's kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a little bit of a cognitive dissonance, maybe, reading the reports and really understanding the implications.
Yeah.
And then you go outside and there's everything is the same, nothing is changing.
I agree. I know, there's a big gap. And you know, people look, you know, they read this stuff in the media and then they go, wow, but you know, I don't see my neighbours doing anything different. I don't see the government going, wow, you know, we've got to mobilise. I don't see that. So, yeah, I think cognitive dissonance is the right term.
I wanted to ask about, you use the term climate breakdown, and I wanted to get you to speak a little bit about why you use that language and what's different from, why that's different than climate change.
Yeah, well, climate change just sounds wrong now, I feel. I think it's too mild for the situation that we find ourselves in. You know, in many ways, New Zealand's been quite immune to it, had a little bit of climate disruption, but nowhere near on the scale as other countries. You know, we've got wildfires in California right now destroying whole townships. We've had a summer in the Northern Hemisphere that's just broken heaps of records in terms of temperatures. We've got Arctic temperature increase and droughts and extreme weather events and sea level rise. And I just think climate change sounds like, oh yeah, bit of change, it's okay. It's really not strong enough. It doesn't really reflect the situation that we find ourselves in. And if you know, just going back to that report, the IPCC report, that they're really sounding the alarm that this is going to be, if we don't act very quickly and very boldly, it's going to be catastrophic.
This was made public, was it yesterday or the day before?
It was yesterday morning, yeah.
And have you gotten any response from anyone in government or any feedback?
Not yet, no. I kind of forgot to send it to government. I thought, well, I'll get to them anyway. It's been quite widely published around the media. So actually last night I did send an email to the Prime Minister and to the Minister for Climate Change, and I look forward to hearing from them. After all, our Prime Minister has been speaking a lot about climate change in many speeches. She campaigned on this issue of climate change. She said that it was our nuclear-free moment, and I agree with her, it is. So now we need to see, you know, appropriate action from the government in line with that message.
What would that action look like? What is an appropriate response from government?
You know, I think what we need to do is get our emissions down as quickly as possible. So, you know, there are different ways to do that. And I mean, there are some good things in the pipeline. So we've got the zero carbon legislation, which is going to be presented in government, I think in February or at the beginning of the next year. And hopefully that will have some really robust measures to get our emissions down really radically. And my concern is been basing some of our decision-making around the Paris Agreement, and the Paris Agreement was kind of aiming for under 2 degrees of warming. But actually, in this latest IPCC report, they're comparing the consequences of keeping temperature rise to 2 degrees and keeping it to 1.5 degrees. And it's really clear that we need to go further than 2 degrees. Actually, the Pacific, leaders in the Pacific have been saying for years that 2 degrees is just not going to work for them. I mean, already sea level rise is causing havoc in the Pacific. And so we need to be even bolder than aiming for 2 degrees. We need to go for 1.5. So I guess it will be a range of policies. You know, there will have to be some really strong decisions made about reorienting our energy system, getting off fossil fuels basically as quickly as possible and transitioning to renewables in terms of energy. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be big. That's what the IPCC said. It's going to be big. It's going to affect all of us. And we are all in this together. So obviously the government needs to really work on a just transition from a fossil fuel-based economy to renewable energy, and it's going to affect, you know, transport and industry and farming and all of us. But we're all in it.
And it seems that people are ready for that kind of change, because most people do seem to be catching on to how serious this is.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think the time is now. And we can see, you know, there's a lot of activity going on in the UK with groups really, you know, civil disobedience and rebellion and just saying, we're not waiting for the government. So, you know, that's what happens if the government doesn't act fast enough and the public can see that it's a crisis, then they will take action like that.
Lately, I've been thinking a lot about this kind of individual behavior change rhetoric that is often used when people talk about what can we do as individuals. It's like, try to bike less or things like that. But obviously, at this point, those kinds of behavior changes are just not only are they not sufficient, but I think as individuals, it's a little bit disheartening to hear that response, because that doesn't quite ease the anxiety.
Well, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I think individual change, you know, me changing my behavior isn't going to do anything if I can communicate that. I mean, I have an opportunity because I'm an educator. If you can, you know, if you're a person who can convince your family or your church group or your youth group or your, you know, whatever, your Facebook group, if you can convince other people to make changes, then that's great. It's got to be collective action. It's got to be all hands on deck. Yeah, it's a tricky one. And I do get concerned about a focus on individual change, because I think we can get really hung up on who's doing what and who's not doing enough and plastic bags. And it's all important, but actually it's going to take pretty radical systemic change from the very top. And that's why this letter hopefully we'll do a little part anyway to influence or to bolster the government to be bolder than they perhaps have been before.
When you hear this news, of course you're affected by it and want to feel capable of doing something, but you know, it's the systems and the structures that need to change.
So I guess, you know, people need to be talking to their MPs about their concerns and really pushing their local MP to act, support the carbon legislation that's coming through, the Zero Carbon Act next year, and also, you know, to educate their communities and the people around them and the workplace and just have those conversations. And because I agree with you, I think there is an underlying, I think people are getting concerned. You can't not see those images on TV of fires and stuff and not be concerned.
This year particularly, at least for me, has been more alarming than past years, because things have been so intense, and it's no longer also happening in some remote part of the world. You know, it's happening in all parts of the world and to all countries. It doesn't matter the wealth disparity here.
It is really clear, though, that, you know, that it is going to, it's the poorer countries, despite the fact that they haven't contributed the most of the carbon, you know, that the poorer countries are going to bear the biggest consequence of climate change, and also the poor people who live in rich countries as well. So there's a lot of inequity around this, and that's something governments need to really pay attention to and make sure that climate change doesn't disproportionately affect those people already struggling and already missing out.
And that's why action needs to be taken in advance, because in crisis situations, those kinds of nuances will just be, you know, overlooked.
Lost. Yeah, I agree with you. And I mean, ultimately, in a crisis situation, people who have money will spend it to look after themselves and their families. And they, you know, and we saw that with the California wildfires. People who have money and can afford helicopters or whatever can, you know, can get out of there really quickly. If you don't have ready access to cash, you have way fewer options, and that's not fair. And you know, we've been talking about really negative things. There are benefits in taking climate action. You know, I mean, apart from saving people's lives and whole communities surviving, there are benefits. And there are lots of academics who are researching this stuff all the time. They're looking at the co-benefits of climate action and say, how getting people out of cars, getting them on public transport or cycling and walking, you know, these have benefits for our health as well. So we need to, I think that's something that a message the government needs to get across, that actually it's going to be beneficial if we do this for, you know, for reasons to do with the economy and survival and health. And there are going to be a range of unexpected benefits if and when we take this bold climate action.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Ora.
That was Alice speaking with Cordelia Lockett, Senior Lecturer at Unitech. And I just thought I should let you all know that we had the News Team Awards here at BFM last week, and Ella won Most Pissed Off About Climate Change. So maybe we should all listen to her.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.